Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Ball Show. I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening, on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Our new time slot for the Driving Ball Show. Yeah, moved from its normal Monday slot, and this is hopefully going to be a new permanent slot for the show, folks. That's when it's going to be. It's funny playing around with my camera there. That's probably a better position. For it. So, what are we going to talk about this week? Well, let's be honest, we've had some NPC action and also some the Rugby Championship action as well. So, we'll have a chat about both of those. Perhaps not seen as much of the Rugby as I liked, and it looks like I'm going to be on my own. So, there'll be some good. So, we'll go into detail on a couple of games. For the rest of them, I guess, we'll just have to bring you up to date with the scores and kind of what it means overall rather than necessarily. Be able to talk about the games themselves, but that's unfortunately has been how it's been. It seems to have been this NPC season. I've not got to not mention watch as many games as I would normally have done, but I was at Waikato versus Southland, so we've got a series of interviews from that game to bring you as well, so look out for those. But before we do all of that, let's kick on through the news that's has been out there. First off, congratulations to Arnie Surveyor and his wife, Saskia, for the birth of their son. So congratulations on that. So hope both mum and child are both doing well there. Looks like it as Arnie Surveyor is back in the All Black squad. So you'd think that things were going well, which is great news for the Surveyor family. Well done. Well done to his wife, and congratulations to them. On the other end of it, sad to hear the passing of Eddie Butler, the ex-Welsh player and or ex-player from Wales, and also a commentator up in the UK, a regular on the BBC for the Six Nations in particular. And yes, he took a bit of ribbing for some of his pronunciations and some of his commentary style, but it's always a good person to listen to, and one of those voices that you knew who you were listening to, one of the characters on the microphone, unlike sometimes when you can think you can get, or when you get these kind of generic callers, you're not quite sure who it is, but he was definitely a personality and people and thoughts with his family there, and he'll be lost, he'll be missed in the game. Moving on, a person who's moving on is Mitch Brown, who is heading off to Japan. The 29-year-old will be leaving the Chiefs and Taranaki. So congratulations to him on his 2-year deal with the Yokohama Cannon Eagles, and will definitely be in the depth chart at the Chiefs. Not someone who was kind of threatening to make All Blacks, but always a very good Super Rugby player, and someone that. Yeah, a big part in the Chiefs over the last few years. So good luck to him as he heads over seas with that one. And so let's get on then with some of the rugby from the weekend. We'll kick off with the All Blacks against the Wallabies, which happened on a Thursday night. Then we'll come back and have a chat about the MPC action, which started last Wednesday when I had the when I had the what do you call it? When I had the was that Waikato versus Southern? And Simon's brought up a point about that Rugby Europe has announced a format for the international championship competition, which looks like an 18 split with two groups of four for the next two seasons, with Romania, Georgia in opposite groups. So it all looks like they're trying to expand that next level beneath the Six Nations, which had which used to be a six nation tournament. So if they make it now an eight team tournament, which is trying to spread rugby in Europe, which can only be a good thing. Anyway, let's have a chat about the Bledisloe. Now, 80 minutes of talking points, all of which have been forgotten because of one thing at the end, is probably how this one should go. A bunch of talking points in here. And look, having what do you call it? Having fireworks in a closed stadium really was a bit of a joke, and made it very foggy in there to start off the game. It kind of helped with player welfare, having this play in smoke, coughing the guts up. So it was all a bit silly. Very quick start, by the All Blacks, getting a try on 3 minutes. And then as they went out to 10-0 after 10 minutes, you're thinking this one is, tweeting at the time, this is going to be a long night for the Wallabies. And it looks like you're going to be a dominant performance by the All Blacks, but it wasn't to be. And after 25 minutes, the Wallabies have pulled it back to 10-all with Papali'i heading off for a yellow card. And the Wallabies had a disallowed try as well, because they didn't manage to get to score that try. And that was, I think, a bit of a tough one there, to be honest with you. When a player who's holding it and their wrist on the hand that's holding the ball touches the ground, the ball doesn't. And over 100 years, that try would have been given, but only for TMO and slow-mo replays to disallow it. It be given all day long in the club game, where you don't have TMOs. But I'm not sure about that. That's obviously the correct call according to the laws. But I would like the hand that's holding the ball to be count as the hand. If you get the back of the hand down that's holding the ball, then to me that should be a try. So disappointed for the Wallabies at that point. Now, Turner writes thinks that Callaway scored that one with the ball touching the grass. Well, I'm not sure I agree. I don't think it did, actually, but I still think it should the try should have stood at that point. And we then, soon after that yellow card, Papali'i, we also lost both Habili and Sam Kane to HIAs. The next sort of big talking point then was the two yellow cards. First off to Wright and also to Swain for the same ruck. Darcy Swain is up for the judiciary tomorrow, I believe, to find out how long his ban is going to be, as he's been cited for it. And yes, it was a red causing a lot of damage to Quint Pyre. And we wish Quint Pyre a speedy recovery from that one. But don't come back too soon. Get yourself properly ready. I don't want you breaking down again. On that one, and suddenly the All Blacks had no more back replacements, having lost Habili already to a concussion, and then also losing to Pyre, who had come on. So after 35 minutes, it already had been, already used at the bench. Takilaho then also had a try disallowed, and at halftime it was 10-all in that one. Second half, a bit the same. A quick start by the All Blacks getting a try to Takilaho. Survived that double yellow pretty well, getting themselves only 13-17, So it was 10-all going into that one. So to lose the 10 minutes of missing two players, 3-7, was a very good result by the Wallabies. They went out to 10-31. Mostly 13-31. Sorry, I got my wrong score there. As the All Blacks pulled out to a big lead, and you think, right, this one is all over. 13-31. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong score there. After 54 minutes. Lomax, I think, should have been carded. I think the Wallabies got off. I think Wallabies got unlucky there. And Lomax got lucky for that tip at the ruck on that one. So I thought he should have done. But you've got to say hat tip to the Wallabies to come back from 13-31 down to be leading 37-34 with just 3 minutes to go. The All Blacks really will be kicking themselves for not closing the game out when they were 18 points up, so 3 scores up. Allow any team to come back, or for a team to come back, you've got to say, well, I've had to turn for doing so, but you shouldn't be allowing teams to get back like that one. Question about forward pass in this one, and there's also a question about a forward pass in the Springboks, also Puma Springboks game as well. But look, we know that those ones that are marginal are not going to get called. I was at some game counties, and I said, look, the referee is just not calling forward passes tonight either way. We need to looking at all those ones so tightly. You're going to get away with them. Unless the referee is absolutely in line, it's not going to get called for that one. Coming then down to the end then, and there are a couple of dumb calls. I mean, it was the thing that led to a try was when the Wallabies didn't clear, got turned over early on, didn't clear the back of the ruck, and they could see they're going to get pushed over. Kind of rucked. So there was definitely some not clever play by the Wallabies in this one, and that included what happened at the end there. You have a penalty, and you stood there just holding the ball. The referee tells you to play. You've got to kick it. The similar thing happened in the Springboks to the Argentina game towards the end, where the Springboks had the lead, and the Springboks wasted a similar amount of time, but they did it by doing things. So they kicked it out and then slowly walked to the line. If the Wallabies have done that, they win the game. But no, Bernard Foley just holds onto the ball and doesn't do anything. People will say, look, there were penalties or the other plays where time was wasted, a similar amount of time earlier in the game. You've got to be consistent. Well, look, one of the things is that, as Nigel Owens has said previously, the referees could pretty much blow a penalty or an infringement at every single ruck. But they've got to decide which ones are actually impacting play, and that's a similar here. So if you take 2 minutes and time waste with a half an hour left on the clock, referees are not going to be so stringent on it. If you do it when there's only a couple of minutes left, they are going to be, because it's impacting play, it's impacting the result, whereas earlier the opposition has got time to come back from it. It's not impacting the game as much. Obviously that's Geordie scoring out wide with that final score of 37-39. So I think, look, Bernard Foley's got no one else to blame but himself for that. The referee, Bob Hilton, saying that, look, but this hasn't been called before. It's not consistent. It's not called before because players don't just stand there holding the ball for 2 minutes or however long it was. They actually kick it out and then slowly walk up and time waste in an active way. It was because he was time wasting in a very passive way and not actually doing anything that it was done. So to me, dumb decision making by Foley allowing the ref to make that call. It shouldn't be in the ref's hand. You should take the ref out of the game. At that one, with that one, and to me, Sometimes refs bottle it all the time, overtime wasting. But this was very clearly impacting the game, and hence that's why this one got called. As he says, Moanga twice over 60 seconds in the game, but not called. True, but they weren't at that crucial last 2 or 3 minutes of the game, and that's the difference. And he was lining up a kick, or he was actually actively kind of moving, not just standing, holding the ball, looking around. And that's the difference between these two situations, or between those situations, is that he was just, when in the game and how he was going about it were both bad and allowing the referee to make that call. You've got to take referee out of the game. I'm sorry. A tough one, clearly, for the Wallabies, but shown great heart to come back from that 13-31 down to lose it 37-39. For Nick White to tell the referee, you've lost us the rugby championship. Sorry, no, you lost it yourself by not kicking out, I'm afraid, on that one. So the key talking points, I think, from the All Blacks game on this one. Yes, Dr. Wright, you ever see what we'll maybe say about the complaint from Ari? Well, look, it's reportedly that the ARU has, that Rugby Australia has complained. Whether they actually have or not, we don't really know. And it sort of gets swept under the carpet and dealt with behind closed doors. It won't be. This is not a transparent sport, let's be honest. I'll get on to that, actually. So looking forward then to the second one looking at stuff and they're going, right, yep. So Sam Kane obviously had the head knock, so he's made a doubt for this coming up game. But the All Blacks not keen to share any detail about a pair of starters in that category. So basically, Havili and Sam Kane. Like, look, you're trying to be an entertainment business, which means you've got to give information, you've got to entertain during the week, not just at the weekend. Not saying or not giving information out about and keeping stum about Sam Kane and Havili and if they're going to be available really is not helping to publicise or show the sport. And it's continually doing that kind of behaviour let's try and say as little as possible rather than actually trying to give information that can engage fans and that can be talked about. Really, it just exasperates me around how badly rugby union promotes itself. Great to have Richard Sterling in the chat. So Richie is on our The Standoff Show, one of our presenters on there. So don't forget to join him and Brad at 8 p.m. on Wednesday nights for The Standoff Show. Obviously, a couple of weeks left of the NRL, and that's our league show. So do that one. Do catch that show. And he's got tickets for the weekend to go and watch Wellington defend the Ranfurly Shield. We'll get on to talking about that later, but boy oh boy, they've got a tough defence coming up. Let's be honest. Yeah, it hasn't arrived. Secret Scroll is NZ DNA. Well, NZ Rugby DNA. Let's be honest. There you go. That's all the Bledisloe Cup. Obviously, this weekend at 7 p.m. I'll be watching it on Saturday at night. So if you are watching it, you can chat with me on Twitter at Driving Mall, and come and have a chat during the game. Still, I'm not sure if I'll get up at 4 a.m. for the Springboks versus the Pumas on Sunday morning. Have to see exactly what I'm up to this weekend. I might be at a toy fair, which could be a part of it on that one. So the other game in the Rugby Championship was Argentina versus the Springboks or versus South Africa, or Pumas versus Springboks. Look, I've not seen this one, I'm afraid. Sorry, folks. Again, another team that came back 6-22 at halftime. There, South Africa really in control of that game. Only for the Pumas to come back and get it back to 20-22 with 10 minutes left to go. Two late tries there, or one try to put some icing on the top as the Hooter went. Blew it out to 22-36. Pumas definitely got themselves back in this one and gave the Springboks a bit of a scare. Two yellow cards for each side, a couple in the first half for the Pumas and a couple in the second half for the Springboks, which was including a penalty try for the which led to a little heavy, the two tries was scored during that yellow card, or when the Springboks were down with those two players, as LaRue and Quagga-Smith both made their way to the sideline on that one. Again, forward pass, I think I mentioned earlier already, that's on that one. Well done to the Springboks. That means now that in the table, we have both the All Blacks and the Springboks both on 14 points. All Blacks are plus 41 points difference to the Springboks, 28 points difference. Australia still can win it, though. They're on 10 points. So if they get a bonus point win and Argentina beat South Africa, then the Wallabies are still in with a shout of winning this competition, sorry. Remember that it is at Eden Park this weekend, which is a bit of a fortress for the All Blacks, and the Wallabies haven't won there for a very, very long time. Also, nice points. Argentina had all the ball and territory in the second half, but could not score enough points just to see off the box at the end. Yeah, and look, you've got to score your points at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how much you dominate the actual play. It's about scoring points, and that's what the game is all about. So let's move on then to the NPC. As I say, we had that midweek game as Waikato took on Southland. And at halftime, at 14-all, this one was a tight one. Southland even took the lead early in the second half, but then Waikato pulled away for what ended up being a comfortable 54-24 points win in this one. Congratulations to Waikato. They were still undefeated at this point. So let's first off, I want to have it here from from Solomon Amalo, who is someone that a couple of years ago I thought was within with getting called up for the All Blacks when the Chiefs. Hasn't gone so well for him since then, but it's good to see him back playing with a smile. So let's hear from Solomon Amalo first up, who is a player that I'm just happy to see smiling and playing again.
Here we are after Waikato versus Southland with Solomon Amalo, someone who I didn't realise was quite so tall, but big boy there, trying to get myself in the picture. But obviously, look, coming up back up to FMG Stadium, a stadium that you know very well. Yeah. Obviously, amongst fans who have enjoyed seeing you play.
Yeah.
But how's your move down south and gone? Are you enjoying it down there in Deep South?
Yeah, 100%. I enjoy. I'm enjoying the environment down there. Obviously, the results and stuff haven't been going our way, but which is a bit of a downer. But I think a good group of boys and a lot of teams sort of would have dispersed and would have broken by now. But I think the group of boys we've got, if we can stick in there, hopefully sort of get a dub over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Good to be back. I love this ground. Came over here for captain's run yesterday, and just a lot of memories there. And now it's cool to be back.
It's great to see you back on the pitch as well. You're talking about that spirit amongst the team. Obviously, you were 14-0 down that first half. A side that hasn't won a game all season, it'd be very easy to crumble at that point. But you guys pull it back to 14-all at half time, which really does show the resolve and how you guys must actually enjoy playing with each other, even when you're not getting the results.
Yeah, I think I think, obviously we do want the results and stuff, but I think you just need to fix up a few things. We let the Waikato team in a bit too easy there, and a team like that, you can't let them get on top of you, otherwise they'll just keep their foot on the throat for the rest of the game. But we enjoy playing with each other, but we just sort of want obviously a result, a couple of results to go away, and that's on it to sort of move with. So
a bit of a tough ask also having to have two
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Games away on the bounce. I mean, on Saturday, then Wednesday, Renfrewshire Shield game, which often takes a lot out of teams. Teams put a lot into that. So perhaps in that second half, just kind of ran out of steam a little bit, and that's when things sort of opened up.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure. Yeah, like I think we had a lot of boys sort of get an opportunity today, and I think we can't really sort of blame the Renfrewshire Shield game. I think, you know, a lot of us sort of came in and, you know, had an opportunity to take. I think we showed up for that first 40, but, you know, like, it was a good sort of, reminder to the boys, you've got to stay on for the whole 80. And, just Waikato are too good of a side to sort of, you know, fall away. But, yeah.
Yeah, up against, well, I guess the number one seed at the moment. So, yes, it was a tough ask. But thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And good luck in getting that result, because you guys came close with in the opening rounds. But things have got a bit tougher since then. But good luck for the rest of the season. And thanks so much for your time.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate
Cheers.
It. Thank you, bro.
So, Greg Solomon to give him his top time there. We get a bit more of a... And I'm starting with my of what's going on down there in South with Del McLeod now. He explains why perhaps some of those problems that they've been having, whereas Solomon was much more about, look, we're going to try. But the number of injuries they've had really does show. Let's hear from Dale now as to what's been, why Southland have been struggling after, say, those really a couple of games early in the season that were very promising.
Waikato versus Southland in the Bunnings MPC with the head coach from Southland. It's been a tough old season for you guys. You start off with the first couple of rounds going really close, getting losing bonus points, and a lot of us thought we had a lot of promise there. But things seem to have kind of slipped away a little bit over the last few rounds. What's just running out of steam or depth of squad or something?
For us, it's our depth of squad. We got, I think, about 16, 17 boys injured at home. We just haven't got the ability to rest guys and rotate guys. So we had a totally different 15 down on paper when we planned this trip 3 weeks ago. And none of them have actually made the group that actually went out tonight. And so when you look at some of the boys, we had boys that were on the bench and we wanted to give them... basically hardly no time tonight, and they ended up playing. One of them played 65 minutes, come off the bench after 10 or 15 minutes, our prop Morgan Mitchell. But yeah, we're just really struggling with injuries, and then we're just basically flogging the same players, and it makes it really tough. This competition's very tough. I looked at it from 3 years ago. It's nowhere near where it is now when you look at, you know, teams that have got seven internationals in their side or 26 super players or 23 super players. You need that depth, and you even look at teams that started the season off well are starting to get a few injuries now, and if they don't have the depth, they'll just drop away as well. So it's a really tough comp.
Yeah, I think we probably saw that, because in the first half, you know, they showed great spirit, being 40-0 down, having had that record. They could have very easily have crumbled, but they came back to 14-0 at halftime. The spirit's there, but the body's just quite not, just runs out of energy in that second half.
Yeah, correct. So tonight, Josh Beckwith was going to come off at halftime, Robbie Robinson was going to come off at halftime, but we had to leave Josh out there for the whole 80. So look, we just got boys that are getting very tired because they've played big minutes. They've played every game of the season, and I don't think too many teams will be able to run out the same team every week, especially in Storm Week. And we're going to have to back the same group up again against Bar Plenty. So it's going to be a tough old week, to be fair. But the boys, like you said, they're a great bunch of lads, and they committed and work really hard. Got a great, they really love each other's company. But mate, when your tank's empty, and there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, I've just been talking with Solomon Marler. He's talking about how much he's enjoying it down there, and how you have got a good group of lads down there. So that's great to hear from that point of view. On a personal note, and you've had a bit of a cracking year, having some opportunities that perhaps you weren't expecting 12 months ago. I mean, a bit of Super Rugby, a bit of international experience, and how have you managed to bring that back to the squad, and how's that been for your personal growth?
Look, to be really fair, it's probably too many things in a season. I can't fit it all in, and I've really enjoyed my time with Moana Pacifica and Tonga. I'm back with both of them next year, and before Wales. It'll probably mean that I might not be able to do Mitre 10 anymore, or NPC, sorry. But it's just a matter of fitting, especially with World Cup year next year. But I'm just working through all those logistics now. But really enjoyed my time, and really enjoyed coaching with Aaron Major. He's just an outstanding man and great coach, and he's been really good for my development. And so I've learned a lot, but I've just really enjoyed the whole cultural thing, and that's been really, really cool to be part of.
Great, well, thank you for that. It's because, one of the things I think a lot of coaches talk about with players is, to strive for more, take those opportunities, and so be hypocritical not to also do the same yourself when it comes up. So I think it's living by example and showing by example is a good thing as well. So thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much.
And good luck for the rest of the season, and also for those big things next year as well.
Yes, thank you very much.
Cheers.
I was actually, when I was doing it, I missed, you said 23 and 24, so he's around for two more years at Moana Pacifica, and also through till after the World Cup with Tonga as well. So great news for Dale there. He's someone who we've talked to a number of times on this channel, and great to see him progressing and doing well himself. But look, 16 injuries for a province like Southland, for any province that would struggle with that, but particularly for one of the smaller provinces, that is a massive loss. So you can understand why they have slipped away and having a tough old season down there. I've been a little bit critical of the draw, but my understanding is that actually Southland asked to have the three games away as part of their Storm Week, because that way they could do it as a mini tour. And for them, it's two flights to any game. If they were having, so in some ways, they actually reduced the number of flights they'd have to have having Hawke's Bay, Waikato, and then Bay of Plenty. Three provinces that aren't necessarily that far apart necessarily from a coach, if you're driving a coach from a point of view. Whilst I say I've been critical in the past or in previous weeks about the schedule that they've had, it looks like they were given the choice of that. And it's unfortunately not panned out the way they were expecting it to or hoping it would, but that's just that's the way that it's panned out, unfortunately, for them. One of the things I've been trying to do during this season is talking to players who are kind of new to the scene or we don't necessarily hear from that often. So it's great to have a chat with Cortez Ratima, who obviously we've got to know not only through the NPC, but also his time now with the Chiefs as well. So I had a quick chat with him after the game as well.
Here we are after Waikato versus Southland in the Bunnings NPC with Coach Ratima, the scrum half for Waikato. You guys had a cracking start there, went out to a 14-0 lead, and then they came back into it. How was the feeling going in at halftime, having let them back into the game?
It was a little bit frustrating, actually. The boys sort of took the foot off the throttle, just weren't executing some of our things, and we sort of let them back into the game. A few penalties that really, really led them into it, we got a good rack up at half time, and the boys ended up coming out, winning their 10 minutes, and then sort of set us up for the rest of the game.
So we see that you're now a new super sub heading onto the wing. Is that where you see your future running around and not in space out there?
Hopefully not too much time out there. Just do what I have to do. But But yeah, I don't look forward to too much time on the wing.
No, okay. That's not where you see yourself going on. Coming into this season, obviously off the back of your first season with Super Rugby, how have you found that difference coming into an NPC season with that grounding of all the strength and conditioning and stuff compared to last year? Does it set you up? Do you feel in a better place? Do you feel you've really grown your rugby?
Yeah. I think grown a lot more in terms of coming off the bench and trying to add good energy, stuff like that. Putting the boys in the right part of the field as well. It's really helped out a lot. And just reacting to the pictures that are always changing around set piece and stuff. That's helped with my vision and stuff heaps. So it's been good.
And being able to concentrate on rugby full time and not having to sort of just do it Tuesday, Thursday night, having a day job and as in club rugby, has that also helped you sort of focus on rugby this year?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Get to do it. Can't even take that for granted. Just got to make the most of it while I can.
I know you've got many years of it to come. Don't go. Don't go rushing it too much. But okay. Yourself and Xavier Rowe, obviously you're kind of frenemies here as you both fight for a jersey. Frenemies also at the Chiefs. How are you finding it with having sort of all that time with him as well?
No, it's been good. Ever since I come on the scene, we've sort of been in the same team actually, and he's been really good. He helps me out wherever he can, and if I can help him out, I'll try and help him out. But we're good. I think we work together pretty well, to be honest.
Well, you haven't spent a lot of time together, so okay, I hope it's you have to get on well, hopefully. But it's good to see you both growing and seeing your progression. The two of you and through the grades, which is great to see. So it's been a delight watching you over the last couple of years and many years to come. So thank you for your time and good luck for the season.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Cheers, thank all you.
Good. And the final interview of this was with Ross Filippo, the head coach of Waikato. I say at this point they hadn't, they were still unbeaten in the NPC. They were going to go on to lose, unfortunately, at the weekend for them. And we'll get on to that later. But here's Ross chatting about how things have been going for them this season, and particularly after that game.
Here we are after Waikato versus Southland with the Waikato head coach, Ross Filippo. Cracking start to the game, going 14-0 up. Must have been happy at that point, but to let them back in and be 14-0 all at half-time, I guess mixed emotions at that point?
No, I mean, you know, we went in at half-time and... You know, we were pretty happy with how the game had started, and we just had a discussion. You know, look, we rotated a number of the squad, and there were new combinations out on the field for the first time, so that we knew there was going to be a few moments where there was teething problems and stuff, and we just talked around making sure we didn't get stuck just playing in the middle of the field, and we needed to be a bit more diligent around how we worked our way up the field. So the boys understood that at halftime, and then I thought in the second half they started the second half really well, and then they just kind of started to get into their work slowly, and as the game wore on, it's things started to open up a bit more.
I'm not sure about work slowly. I mean, we were talking, it was a 50-point second half. Now, admittedly, the seven of those were from the opposite, but yeah, but 40-odd points is pretty quick. Quick work in that second half, to be fair to the boys. That's obviously how. So I guess this is, we talked last time about this being your first storm week,
yeah.
And dealing with that. So how have you found having to back up and I guess do all of the review and all of the game planning in a much less days?
Time frame. Yeah. we're conscious of the fact that there's not as many opportunities to spend throughout the lead into the game, having conversations and obviously bedding down new concepts. So we've been really, really careful around how much information we give and how much, we try and get the boys to take on board. That's probably been the most important thing, is sometimes less is more.
Yep. And so you're already done some of the sort of preparation for the game this weekend, or is it all into it tonight and early tomorrow morning having to...
Yeah, no, I spent most of today leading into this game, kind of having a look at Otago and then beyond that. But we're really kind of whittling it down to a real small handful of things. We just want to make sure that we can approach that game fresh, physically ready and mentally ready to play on Sunday.
So so just three more games to go for the regular season with six wins and one draw. You must be very happy with how things are progressing. Still okay with the sort of not too many injuries, and happy with how the sort of freshness of the squad going towards the sharp end of the season.
Yeah, I think mentally the team's still really really engaged. Yeah, obviously the compounding weeks as you get to the back end of the competition, bodies are starting to get a bit tired. We've talked a lot around how we recover, and we've asked our players to be transparent and honest around making sure that they're tending to that side of their job. By and large, the buy-in's been pretty high, and the uptake's pretty good. You know, we've got a great leadership group that are really encouraging of our young guys and drive professional habits every day. So, I guess the thing from forward is making sure that, yeah, like you said, we try and freshen people up. We still stimulate them mentally and make sure that they're engaged. But at the same time, we still enjoy what we do. You know, like it's a tough competition this year. And I was just talking to Dale McLeod now, and he said, you know, there's a high number of injuries in their group, and it can happen to any team. You know, so it's the making sure that you look after your players, and if you've got the ability to rotate them to freshen people up, then you do that, and you trust the other guys in the group that haven't had the same amount of access.
Yeah, and having players like Xavier Rowe, Corsi Dratima, having two Super Rugby players in a key position like nine and be able to rotate them is I guess that's the kind of luxury that you're looking for and works well. So good luck with the last three games heading towards finals, and thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
That was Ross Egan there after that Waikato versus Southland there, and interesting hearing him talking about keep trying to keep them mentally fresh and engaged in the process, and clearly he said they're going to be tired bodies when you're at this the stage of the season. Let's run through the game from the weekend. So Taranaki Swarov Manawa 2-34-24. Two teams struggling this season, so probably an important win for Taranaki. Counties hosted Canterbury, losing that one 39-44, so pushing Canterbury close there by Counties, which is when Canterbury are currently the top seed with 36 points. That's a good performance, if not a good result there for Counties. Auckland beat Tasman 30-27, keeping their push, chasing Canterbury because they're both in the evens pool there. Tasman not having a great season by their standards, 3 wins, 5 losses, but still in the top four there, still in the playoffs, still in with a shout. A dangerous team to meet in the playoffs because, they could have some players back and it all could get, they could suddenly come good. Then the big game of the weekend, Ranfurly Shield, Hawke's Bay versus Wellington. Hawke's Bay held on to this for a very long time, the Ranfurly Shield, but lost it 12-19. Massive win for Wellington there. Now, Wellington, a team I've been talking about, they're having an up and down season. Suddenly, there were 6 wins and 2 losses, just behind Waikato by 31 points to 28 points, just 3 points behind them in the odds pool. They're 1-2 there. Wellington sneaked up, sneakily having a very good season, should be a cracking game this coming weekend as Wellington host Waikato in their first Ranfurly Shield defence. So really, really big game this coming weekend. If Wellington manage to defend the Shield, they will lock it up for the summer. If not, if Waikato win the Shield, they'll have to defend it in the final round robin week against Bay of Plenty. So lots of intrigue there. Personally, I was looking forward to... I like it when the Shield is moving around. I don't like it when it's with one province for too long. And it's been with Hawke's Bay for a while now. But seeing it go to Wellington, one of the big centres, not necessarily a big fan of it heading there, because it tends to get stuck in places like Auckland at Waikato, Canterbury. So getting stuck, I wouldn't want it to see it stuck in Wellington for a couple of years. I want to keep moving, hopefully. On to the Sunday then, three games on Sunday. Otago beat Waikato in a close one, 27-20, inflicting the first loss of the season for Waikato. So congratulations to Otago there. Waikato, obviously, are they coming off the end of their storm week. Will obviously takes it out of the team. And a team that Waikato has got an attacking style that really requires players to know each other and how they're playing. It's not a very structured style, and therefore it really requires a much more an intuitive feel as to where your support runners are going to be, etc., for that one to work. So, one there for Waikato. Waikato, when the switching up team, as Ross talked about last in the interview there, it can disrupt them quite considerably. Bay of Plenty got a big win over Southland, 54-21. Not a surprise there after we heard from Dale McLeod about all those injuries, about how to use the same team back-to-back-to-back. Big win there for Bay of Plenty, but one that we all probably should have seen coming. Northland, 21. North Harbour, 48. Wow. Now, Northland be a team that a lot of people had been worried about, but two losses on the bounce now for Northland has seen them slip out of the playoffs. Now, they have got a game in hand over Tasman, so they can climb back into it. They're 1 point behind them on the table. North Harbour there got themselves up to third in the evens pool behind Canterbury and Auckland. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them to overtake Auckland. Having a cracking season for North Harbour there, getting themselves up into third place in that pool and looking good for some finals footy. So that's the results from the weekend. A quick reminder, Waikato, Wellington, followed by Bay of Plenty, Hawke's Bay, the top end of the odds pool, whereas the evens pool is Canterbury, Auckland, North Harbour and Tasman currently. Midweek game is Taranaki versus Counties Manukau, which is tomorrow night. Aaron Lawton, who is the CEO of Counties, I'm hoping to interview him to talk about how he's looking at using his Silver Lake money to grow the game in Counties. I'll be hopefully try and get that interview this week. So really looking forward to that one. But yeah, Counties on that storm week, coming off the back of that loss to Canterbury, up against Taranaki, and then they've their final game of the season is away to Southland. So with the two teams there who are struggling in Taranaki and Southland, can Counties get a couple of wins that would give them an outside chance of getting into finals footy? It really is outside. It just needs a couple of points by Hawke's Bay, and it'll be beyond them to get there. But we'll see how that one pans out for Counties with that game on Wednesday night. So that, folks, is everything I was going to have a chat about this week. Thank you so much for Nocturnal Rights, Morris Bass, and also Simon Hughes for joining me in the, and also Richie from the Standoff Show, joining me in the live chat. The plan is for the show to be on a Tuesday night from now on, folks. So thank you so much for joining me. Please do whack that into your calendars for your regular evening viewing. If not, don't forget you can catch us as a podcast as well on the Search New Zealand Sport Radio on your favourite podcatcher. Have a great week. And don't forget, you can have a chat with me at Driving Mall during live games on Twitter when the game's on this weekend.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.